foundations of amateur radio. When you start the process of getting your hobby off the ground, either for the first time or after a hiatus, you might be left with the impression that the only way to do amateur radio is to have a shack, a place where you can set up your gear and connect it to that gear using coax, one or more antennas. While that's a common scenario, it's not the only one at your disposal. We are, after all, in the game of communication, and over the past few decades, options have exploded. Starting closest to the traditional radio coax and antenna is to consider indoor antennas. There's many to choose from. You can install one in the same room as your shack, or you can build your antennas in the roof space. Either way, invisible from the outside can sometimes be a requirement. Stealth is a topic all its own, and no doubt we'll get to that another time. A word of caution, if you do have an indoor antenna and associated coax, consider your transmitter power levels, since it's likely that given the close proximity, you'll exceed emission safety standards, or you'll cause harm to other electronic equipment in the building. QRP, or low power, is a good way to go if this is something you're considering. If we step away from a traditional radio coax antenna configuration, you can build your shack in other ways too. For example, you can use a local repeater, which you might trigger from a local handheld radio. Often dismissed as being for local communications only, there are thousands of repeaters across the globe offering a variety of bands, frequencies, and modes. Often you can access a local repeater that can be connected to a remote one using a bewildering array of technologies, some using the internet, some using traditional RF. You'll find repeaters on 10 meters, 6 meters, 2 meters, 70 centimeters, and 23 centimeters. There's nothing stopping you making your own repeater. You don't even need to go through the effort of making it completely standalone. For example, my Yaesu FT857D has a detachable faceplate, or head, connected to the main body by a short cable. There are plenty of other radios with a similar configuration. Presumably designed for the installation in a vehicle, where the head needs to be near the driver and there's unlikely to be space for the body, you can run a longer cable from the head to the body and install it somewhere more convenient. In my case, it was bolted underneath the removable floor into the boot next to the spare tyre. There's several solutions that replace the connecting cable with an internet connection. Now, that internet connection can be across the room, from inside your shack to your garage, or between your shack and a remote hill where you have permission to put up a bit of gear. In fact, the same type of setup can be used to connect to shared radios, and companies like Elecraft, Flex Radio, and ICOM make specific remote heads that can operate remote radio equipment marketed as RF decks, without needing to install and maintain computers at either end. But more often than not, this equipment is brand or model specific, which raises another option. You can connect to remote equipment across the internet using your computer, which means that your shack might be a computer, a laptop or a mobile phone, and your gear might be in a different country. Many radio clubs have discovered that their often extensive radio shack is virtually unused during the week, and have installed remote equipment to allow you as a member to connect, sometimes as part of your membership, sometimes with an extra fee, since there are costs associated with setting this up and keeping it running. At some point, you're going to discuss this with other amateurs, and you're potentially going to hear someone tell you that this is not real radio. Considering over a century of radio evolution, from spark gap through valves, transistors, integrated circuits, and software-defined radio, where exactly is the real radio line drawn? Is using Whisper, Ritty, FT8, Hellschreiber, Olivia, SSTV, PSK31, Domino, MFSK, and thousands of other digital modes real radio? If the answer to that is an emphatic yes, then ask yourself, how do you actually use those modes? The answer looks suspiciously like a computer running digital mode software, either connected to a physical radio in the same room or connected to one across the internet. In other words, with the proliferation of communication alternatives, amateur radio is evolving, no doubt it will evolve further. So today, a perfectly viable and some might say modern amateur radio shack might not actually have any traditional RF-based radio gear, though perhaps a handheld might be something to consider when you next treat yourself. Not because without it you're not a real amateur, but because it opens your world to other means of communication, something which I think is perhaps even more important than building the perfect shack. In other words, you are not required to have a shack to be a radio amateur. It's just that it brings with it another dimension of engagement and activity. Speaking from personal experience, I miss my functional shack, but it's evolving, so there's that. Next time I'll take a look at antennas, stealthy or otherwise. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima, Alpha Bravo.